geopolitical world, politics of both economic and military affairs as well. Hello, Adrian. How are you?
Good evening, Jeff. How nice to talk to you again.
Thank you, my friend. It's always a pleasure to have you on the program. I wanted to start first, if I can, with the Malvinas, otherwise known to most semi-informed Americans as the Falklands, which during the Falklands War, to me, had a clear and underlying reason that had much more to do with mineral and petroleum resources than anything else. And it's come to pass that there has been some substantial, big surprise, oil discoveries in the island chain, I guess, in the islands themselves. Tell us more about that, if you would. And is there anything that Argentina can do?
Well, first of all, yes, it's been known for many years that the continental shelf around the Falkland Malvinas and near the coast of Argentina has a huge oil reserve. Actually, if you look at the South Atlantic Ocean, the entire continental shelf off the coast of Argentina and Uruguay and around the Malvinas themselves are very shallow, and there are huge oil reserves there, and that's been known for many, many years. It was one of the reasons, as you very correctly said, for the war back in 1982. But on top of that, the Falkland Islands are like, shall we say, a jumping board, even a very fixed aircraft carrier from the geopolitical point of view towards the Antarctic continent. Now, Antarctica is known to have just about every mineral reserve imaginable, and there are an estimated 500 to 700 billion barrels of oil in reserves under the continent itself. So there are many reasons why that war was fought by Britain back in 1982 and by Argentina. And also, the third factor, which I think is a key factor, is that there are territorial appetites over the southern part of the southern cone of South America, which is very underpopulated and has huge resources as well. And many people in the northern hemisphere, at least, have earmarked it for future immigration of certain very specific ethnic groups towards Patagonia, as we call it down here. Patagonia, both on the Argentine side as well on the Chilean side. And lastly, your question, what Argentina can do about it. Well, Argentina can do absolutely nothing about it because, you know, it's a fact of life of history that those countries that lose military wars have to pay the price. And Argentina did pay the price after the war in 1982. And instead of a peace treaty being imposed upon it by foreign victors or the people who won the war, it was done through the implementation or the imposition of caretaker governments, who since 1983 have signed just about every treaty going against the Argentine interest and in favor of the, I wouldn't say the British interest just alone, but the New World Order power elite interest. And it's been done, very sadly, by governments that have been voted into power in Argentina.
So Argentina has nothing to say. There's not any
we have no. We have no armed forces. One of the key conditions of the, they don't call them peace treaties, but they actually are peace treaties. They came around in 1991 with the Carlos Menem government. It took 9 years, but they finally imposed that what we can call peace treaties in 1991. And those treaties, the first one was signed with Britain, the second one was signed with the United States, and then about 30-some-odd countries, is that Argentina would accept irrestrictly all types of foreign investments with no questions asked and had very, very negative conditions towards Argentina. Secondly, that we would always consult politically with Britain, a whole series of factors. And worst, and third, Argentina would unilaterally disarm. Today, Argentina, in practice, has no armed forces whatsoever. Our Air Force cannot hold its aircraft in the air or even maintain them. No war material, no aircraft have been renewed. The army is practically barred from even operating south of the 42nd degree latitude parallel. So all in all, although we do formally have armed forces, in actual practice, we wouldn't be able to hold up for 10 minutes against Britain and much less Britain and the United States combined.
How much do you think Argentina has lost in oil?
Well, that is absolutely incalculable. And to make matters worse, not only did we lose, Jeff, the possibility of accessing the oil on the continental shelf and on the Malvinas themselves, but in 1991, when we signed this so-called foreign investment treaty with the British,
right,
one of the key elements was that we would accept selling off our, at that time, state oil company, YPF. Now, YPF was finally privatized to the Spanish company Repsol. Now, doesn't it surprise you that a country like Spain that doesn't have a drop of oil should all of a sudden in the late 80s create our very large oil company called Repsol?
Right.
Repsol is a front for British Petroleum. So it would have been very unpopular and it would have been very badly seen by the Argentinians if we were to privatize our state oil company, which was one of the prides of Argentina, to a British company. They would have said, oh, come on, you know, this is terrible. So what they did is they made sort of a triangular operation. They privatized it supposedly to Repsol, which is a Spanish company, but in actual fact, behind Repsol, you have British Petroleum. So Argentinian oil is British. It's that bad.
Unreal. Okay, all right, let's look at the bigger picture of the world now. What's happened since we last talked that you want to put up first here?
Well, I think that there's a whole series of things that have been taking place, one of which I think that we're following upon very, very, very closely is the crisis in Greece. Now, you know that I wrote an article called on purpose Deja Vu All Over Again, which is sort of a redundancy. But in actual fact, what is happening to Greece in these troubling weeks for the Greek people is practically a full replay of what happened to Argentina in 2001 and 2002. A severe economic, financial, and banking crisis. The IMF coming in to say, if you can't pay your debt, you're going to have to put up with these terms. You're going to have to lower salaries, increase the retirement age, stop government spending, which will mean losing jobs for many, many people. People went into hardship. People took to the streets. The police came out to the streets and started banging people's heads. You always have the same picture of poorly paid policemen at war with poorly paid people out on the street. It's the poor against the poor. And we can all sort of imagine the very rich upstairs chuckling and laughing at the terrible scene that they're seeing. And it was a full replay with the added complexity that whilst the last Argentinian crisis of 2001 and 2002 merely was restricted to Argentina, so the whole world system could say, well, you know, let the Argentinians play it out themselves. The Greek crisis is intimately linked to Europe, to Germany in particular, and to the euro. So that's, I think, why the European Union came out with this 150 billion euro bailout plan. I mean, this is $1 trillion U.S. dollars because it's not only Greece. They're seeing that next in line you're going to have Portugal, you're going to have Spain, you can even eventually have Italy running into a similar problem. So in a way, I think that it's a mistake, Jeff, to try to understand all these financial and economic crises by just saying, okay, financially, economically, what's happening in Greece or what happened to Argentina and so forth. We have to see, as you very aptly said a few minutes ago, the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is that above all the financial talk and all the economic talk, you have geopolitical motives. And I think that the key geopolitical motive or objective that we're seeing now is that as the world is being brought to wrap up globalization and start ushering in world government, one of the things that they need is to wrap up the U.S. dollar and the euro and replace it with what probably will be a global currency that's going to be fully run by private banks and private organizations. So just as the U.S. dollar, I think, will probably be folded because it is technically hyperinflated. They haven't said so yet. It doesn't hit the headlines of the Wall Street Journal. But sooner or later, the world will realize that the U.S. dollar has been hyperinflated. The euro, which is not hyperinflated, the euro is a very stable currency technically from that point of view. However, it can its demise will probably take place because it will be there will be just a fracture of the European monetary system. In other words, if Greek were to fall off and tomorrow
sure.
Spain were to fall off,
sure.
Well, that would be the end of the euro. And mm-hmm. the euro and the dollar, I think we're seeing the controlled collapse of both
mm-hmm.
of these key currencies
yeah.
to have it replaced with a new global currency.
Sounds like it. The indications are exactly that. All right, we'll pause and come right back with Adrian in just a couple minutes as we roll along tonight. Glad you're with us. A lot of folks are gambling with their lives, and they don't even know it. Would you bet your life that we've seen the last volcano? That earthquakes have run their course, or that droughts, floods, crop failures, and wars are over? This is Jeff Rentz, and I honestly believe that a supply of storable food from eFoods Direct is the solution to almost all economic, political, and natural disasters. Would you have bet that the real estate and financial markets or the automobile industries were about to crash? I'm not betting my life that politicians will save us from the present global famine. Bet your life on a sure thing. Get the best food on the planet in long-term storable food supplies from 1 week to 1 year. Call eFoodsDirect.com or call 1-800-900-8030. That's eFoodsDirect.com/Jeff or 800-900-8030.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rentz.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rentz.com.
Okay, back with Adrian Salvucci, live from Argentina. Any talk down there, Adrian, about your offshore oil in terms of the catastrophe in the Gulf of Mexico?
We're so far away that the impression people, that in general public opinion down here has is, you know, look at the big problem that the Americans have, but it won't impact on us, especially since people are describing that because of the way the Gulf Stream flows, what will all likely happen, and it is happening from the latest news I've heard, is that it will sort of work its way towards Florida. I understand it's almost reaching Key West, and then will probably turn around and work its way upwards through the Gulf Stream. However, people are starting to realize, and there's starting to be some talk, that if they cannot stop this, it is very likely that this will end up polluting and contaminating a large part of the oceans, and that might eventually reach just about everywhere in the world. So people are rather, there's expectation to see what the immediate damage and the immediate impact will be on the U.S. coast in the Gulf and beyond that into the Atlantic. Now, the thing is that people are starting to realize how bad this is, in the sense that, you know, they just can't stop it, and the declarations from British Petroleum have been ridiculous in the sense that it's a small oil leak because the ocean is big. That's what BP's CEO said at one point during one of these the conferences. So I think, you know, that is probably, you know, I'm wondering if this might not be one of the triggers that will help, or that will help to bring down the American system. Let me just give you a historical parallel, because very often, you know, history does not repeat itself verbally or literally, but there are certain tendencies. If we were to go back to what really finally brought down the Soviet Union, many observers agree that one of the triggers was the deadly Chernobyl nuclear accident of 1986, which in a way went to show how the system, how the Soviet government was really not in charge. They had lost control over one of the key aspects, which is not precisely nuclear energy, even if it was for peacetime uses. So I often wonder, are we seeing the American Chernobyl with this Gulf, with the Deepwater Horizon disaster? Okay, it involves British Petroleum, but it's BP Amoco, so it's really a British-American company, and above that, it's a supranational oil company. We also have Halliburton in there, and we all know about Halliburton, how that is run and what the interests behind that are. So, you know, that's sure. Something we have to follow along very closely.
Well, all right. The international financial catastrophe. At this point in time, how is Argentina faring? America is said to be next in line after Britain to go down. I don't know how far down, but America is beyond bankrupt. It's beyond insolvent, as are many Western countries. This money that has been printed to prop this game up is a joke. There's no way to dig yourself out of it. It just isn't going to happen. Is Argentina in anywhere near that bad a condition?
No, we were in that condition. In other words, the funny thing about Argentina is that on a much smaller scale, things have been happening to us 5, 6, 7, even 8 years before it happens elsewhere on a much larger scale in the world. The crisis that has impacted upon American Britain, starting in 2008 and onwards, is a crisis based on huge amounts of debt generated by a financial system which is totally unpayable, the price tag being transferred over to the public, bailouts of the big banks, excessive printing of money, which is a way of socializing the loss, because all this money has been printed to save the banks, all these the banks with this ridiculous concept that some of them are too big to fail, and that on a much vaster scale is what happened to Argentina in 2001 and 2002, where we had a debt system that was so huge, it was so unpayable, that it completely collapsed the country. Now, what did they do? And this is a lesson to be learned. They allowed us to collapse. They allowed us to really fall very hard. Just to give you an example, the gross domestic product of Argentina fell by 40%, in 2002.
Huge. Yeah.
50% of the population fell below the poverty line, and most of them never made it back up again. However, not one, in our case, not one single bank folded. All the banks survived. the caretaker government at that time and the caretaker governments ever since have taken measure after measure after measure, which is to defend the banking system and not to protect the people. Right now in Argentina, we are paying ever-increasing taxes. People are having less income, more taxation, and it all ends up working in favor of the banks. Not just the local banks that are all back to business, but something like 20% of our public budget is earmarked to pay our foreign debt, which has the added insult in our case that that foreign debt, which has been rolled over time and again through swaps and mega swaps of sovereign debt bonds, they are all imposed by the banking system, where the IMF acts as a sort of spokesman for the entire private banking system, since the private banks cannot go and kick the door of the government palace and impose its conditions. They use the IMF to do that. And since the IMF is a multilateral organization of which Argentina is a member, it has far more credibility and supposed authority to impose those terms and those conditions. So all in all, what we have is a foreign debt, the origin of which is basically illegitimate and illegal, because most of it dates back to the illegal government that usurped power between 1976 and 1983. It was a military takeover, a coup d'etat. So we have that. We would even be able to show that most of our foreign debt is basically illegal and illegitimate, and yet they have the system works so well that all the caretaker governments we have had since 1983, when democracy allegedly came back to this country, not one of them has ever required that the origin of all our foreign debt be investigated, which would be exactly what we would have to
not
do
one.
If somebody wants to defend the national interest.
Wow. What a scene.
We just keep paying it and rolling it over, and right now that foreign debt is so unpayable, Jeff, that the government, not only can it not pay the capital, it cannot even pay interest. So right now, the latest rollover, where we have the IMF and we have a new mega debt bond swap, is just to see if we can refinance about pay.
All right, be right back. Internationally respected author of The Secret World of Money has been successfully advising investors about gold for over 40 years now. As the world watches the crumbling American dollar and a true U.S. deficit in the $50 trillion range, there has never been a more important time to secure yourself and your family's future with gold. The feds, of course, will continue to simply crank out and print new money right out of thin air until the house of cards finally comes crashing down on all of us. Everyone I know who has figured out the great game is buying gold now, and there is no one I have more respect for than Andrew Goss. Call and talk to Andy yourself, and you'll see what the wisdom of over four decades of trading in gold can do for you. Visit usgoldcoins.com or call 800-468-2646. That's 800-468-2646.
You're listening to Jeff on the Rents Radio Network, coast to coast on the Galaxy 19 KU band satellite, nationwide and worldwide on the Internet, and, of course, on Rents.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Rents. Royal Raymond Rife was, without question, the most gifted medical scientific genius of our age. He discovered that most disease-related microbes die quickly when exposed to their own specialized resonant radio frequencies. The BCX-411 Rife-type frequency instrument has received the highest praise on several continents for its precision, simplicity of operation, and successful research experiment. The BCX, with its comprehensive manual, allows you to select the frequencies you wish to experiment with for the length of time you want to run them. The BCX handheld plasma ray tubes and RF radio carrier wave, like Rife used, are the absolute state-of-the-art in Rife frequency research. For full information and pictures, take the New Earth link at the top of Rents.com. Settle for nothing but the best in Rife research with the BCX 411. Again, just take the New Earth link at the top left corner of Rents.com.
Scientists in England have succeeded in stabilizing the time-honored substance of garlic that destroys harmful bacteria, viruses, molds, yeast, and fungus. This all-natural microbe killer is called Allicin C, and it's now available to you in 100% vegetarian capsules only on the New Earth page at Rents.com. This powerful broad-spectrum antimicrobial agent is harmless to friendly bacteria and has been concentrated to equal an astonishing 35 cloves of garlic in each vegetarian capsule. Think about it. The antibacterial, antiviral strength of 35 odorless cloves of garlic in just one capsule. Allicin C is so effective it even destroys superbug MRSA in test after test. Allicin C is truly an incredible advance in natural medicine. And with the threats of bacterial and viral diseases and pandemics growing, no home should be without it. Learn more and order Allicin C on the New Earth page at Rents.com.
Known worldwide as the most consistently fascinating, informative, and unique program on radio, the Jeff Rentz program can be yours to listen to anytime, anywhere, whenever you want to hear it. For pennies a day, our subscribers can download any of Jeff's thousands of programs featuring a treasury of newsmakers, researchers, eyewitnesses, and incredible subjects, all in MP3, commercial-free, crystal-clear 56-bit digital sound, and take these often unforgettable programs with them wherever they go. As a subscriber, you can also listen live at airtime, online, anywhere in the world, or browse through our archives of over 6,000 hours of legendary broadcasts. Subscribe now by taking the link at the top of Rents.com and enrich your mind with the most unique panorama of vital information and the best independent, honest journalism in radio. Look for the Subscribe Now link on Rents.com and give yourself the knowledge you need for these unprecedented times.
Okay, back to you and Adrian. Adrian, do you in your media hear much about the 8.5 year, the longest war America has ever been engaged in, the 8.5 year conflict in Afghanistan? Does it get much play down there?
Oh yeah, it doesn't get more coverage than you would in the international media, but it does get a sizable portion of coverage, in the sense that it had sort of died down, and then with the Obama government it flared up again, both in Afghanistan and Pakistan. But in general, the problem we have down here with our mainstream media, which is, I wish I could say it was just as bad as in the United States, but I must say it's worse than in the United States, is that our mainstream media here are very low quality. They will just inform little bits of information about something that might have happened in Afghanistan, or a bomb going off in Baghdad, or somewhere in Iraq, or something happened in Palestine in the Middle East, or the oil slick in the Gulf, and so forth. But they are all like disconnected, haphazard bits of news, which in a way is a good example of how the mass media, at least we can see it down here, how the mass media totally disinform and distort the vision people have of things. I tell some of my friends here, and I hope you don't laugh about this, I don't buy newspapers, because I think newspapers are very often the worst way of being informed, because it just gives you a lot of little bits of information about very complex things without ever explaining what's really happening. So, for example, regarding something that really affects Argentina, our foreign debt that we were talking in the previous block of the interview, it is something extremely complex, and it is always in our newspapers. But it's just information. The economy minister is trying to impose to present a new debt bond swap. The IMF have said this. Deutsche Bank, Barclays, and Citicorp, which are trying to get part of the debt rolled over, they have said something else. And you figure, okay, there's a lot of information. They talk about the bonds. They will tell you the percentages, how much, what the interest rate is, and so forth, what the country risk rate or penalty rate as imposed by JP Morgan London is, what the latest number is, but it will never explain to you what the real gist of the whole problem is, what the whole model, the whole debt model is all about. So all in all, people who just read the newspapers, very often we have a lot of information, but very little understanding. Sure. And as a matter of fact, very often saturation of with too much information has the same effect as censorship. Because when people are saturated with too much information that they cannot build into a model, it has the same effect as if there were total censorship, because it's so frustrating to read and not understand what it's all about that it makes a lot of people, I think it makes most people, either very frustrated or just lose interest in what's happening, or even stop trying to understand what the logic behind everything that they are.
You have just put your finger on one of the primary tools of how the controllers deal with the internet. They flood it with information, and people cannot possibly know where to step, how to work their way through it, how to assimilate and digest it properly, logically, sequentially, and to draw any real connections. It becomes a mass of like a shotgun blast, and they just recoil away from it. And I can't blame them. I just don't blame them. It's sad, but you've just nailed it. It's true.
But that's where people like yourself and myself, I think, come in, because in a way, your program and what I try and do here, we don't add a lot more data. We don't put in a lot more information, because all the information is out there. I don't know, 10 times more probably information than we really need. What people in public opinion really need, that's what you do, what I do, and what a whole host of other freedom fighters the world over do, is try to put that into a model. I always give the example, if all of a sudden we were confronted with a very primitive guy on a deserted island, and the guy's intelligent, but we're trying to explain to him what a car is, it would serve no purpose for you or me to explain to him how the injection system works and give him full details of all the complexities of the injection system.
Right.
Because the guy might end up understanding how an injection system works, but then he'll turn around and ask you, and what is that good for? So it's much better, instead of going into a fine detail, to explain the whole big picture. In other words, look, there's a thing called a car. It's got a chassis, four wheels, an engine, a steering gear, gearbox, seats, and so forth, and you can use it to get from here to there. And the guy will say, okay, I understand that. Now explain to me how the engine works. Okay, now I'm going to explain to you how the engine works, and you start working down to the fine detail. And that's the problem we have, and we have it in the Internet. It's all fine detail. It's all a lot of information about the complexities and the intricacies of things, but nobody is really explaining, for example, how the basic world model works. So people are at a total loss to understand how the world works, how the global system works, where it's coming from, and where it is being taken. And that is, it's happening in front of our eyes, right below our noses, that they are wrapping up globalization, because it's already served its purpose of implementing the global electronic complete total controlled system. They don't need globalization anymore. They don't even need the United States to be Globocop in case something were to go haywire. So they're wrapping up globalization. They are ushering world government right in front of our noses, and 99% of the people just don't see it because they see all the intricacies, but they cannot understand the model. It's like an impressionist painting. If you get too close, you just see little dots, red, green, blue, but you can't really work it out. When you look at it from a distance, you say, aha, it's a beautiful picture.
Nicely said. Yeah, you've summed it up very well. Okay, George Soros is saying that the financial collapse has no bottom. Richard Russell is saying, sell everything you have and be completely liquid, because by the end of the year you will not recognize the United States anymore. These are incredible statements. Richard Russell, of course, has been at this for a long time. Soros, but these people are not stupid. They're talking catastrophe, and yet the American headlines say, housing starts for spring up or jump. I mean, they're looking at minutia when, in point of fact, they're about to be stepped on by an enormous boot.
Well, yeah, Jeff, if anything, and I think we've discussed this before, in times of stability, in times of normality, you can say that the economics and finance is pretty much an exact science, or it looks like an exact science, or at least it's quite predictable. But in times of turmoil, in times of instability, economics and finance become more and more a branch of psychology, because the dollar will either go up or down, gold will go up or down, the stock market will rise or fall, all based on people's perceptions.
And psychology seems to rule so much of investment in this country. All right, back in a minute with Adrian Salbucci live from Argentina as we continue.
Disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Scientists in England have succeeded in stabilizing the time-honored substance in garlic that destroys harmful bacteria, viruses, molds, yeast, and fungus. This all-natural microbe killer is called Allicin C, and it's now available to you in 100% vegetarian capsules only on the New Earth page at Rents.com. This powerful broad-spectrum antimicrobial agent is harmless to friendly bacteria and has been concentrated to equal an astonishing 35 cloves of garlic in each vegetarian capsule. Think about it. The antibacterial, antiviral strength of 35 odorless cloves of garlic in just one capsule. Allicin C is so effective it even destroys superbug MRSA in test after test. Allicin C is truly an incredible advance in natural medicine. And with the threats of bacterial and viral diseases and pandemics growing, no home should be without it. Learn more and order Allicin C on the New Earth page at Rents.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural OxyC. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. OxyC is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all natural OxyC and prepare to be amazed. OxyC is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rents.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rents.com.
Okay, and back with our colleague Adrian Salbucci from Argentina. All right, we have one segment to go. What would you like to present in this last segment, Adrian? I've been taking a lot of the time talking, so please.
You touched upon in right before the break one of the key people, George Soros, who's very much in the know. So when the guy says, "Hey, this is going to collapse," I think at least it's worth listening to him. And just to give you an example of how the guy, I mean, he is one of the main culprits in this whole thing. He was in Argentina with massive investments in real estate back in the 90s. And the guy came in at the right time, and he left at the right time. Because
funniest thing how they get it right. Amazing. What a coincidence.
He knew exactly what was happening. He had all the insider information. And he, although he is presented as a philanthropist, he had the nerve to say, my 10 years in Argentina reaped me $500 million in profit. Now, the interesting thing is that George Soros helps to understand how the global power network works. Because his representative in Argentina is a guy by the name of Eduardo Elstein. Now, Eduardo Elstein sits on the America Society, which is presided by David Rockefeller, and is located just across the street from the Council on Foreign Relations on Park Avenue and 57th Street. In turn, Mr. Elstein is also one of the key and largest, he is right now the largest landowner in Argentina. In turn, he was named treasurer of the World Jewish Congress by one Edgar Bronfman, who is the president of the World Jewish Congress, who sits on the Trilateral Commission and goes to the Bilderberg Conference. And in turn, together, he is one of the key militant Zionists in the Lubavitch sect here in Argentina. He is also earmarking a lot of land in southern Argentina, in Patagonia, God knows for what, but which ties in with what a lot of other people are doing.
That's Bronfman?
Bronfman, yes. Edgar Bronfman of the Seagram family.
Yeah, I know who he is.
We know who he is. So he, Bronfman, who is also the president of the World Jewish Congress, named this Argentinian Zionist, Eduardo Elstein, as the treasurer of the World Jewish Congress. So you figure, when you start seeing how these people are inserted and embedded into these very powerful organizations, the America Society, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberg Conference, the World Jewish Congress, and so forth, then you understand why the world works as it does. Because any one of these guys, Mr. Elstein, Mr. Bronfman, Mr. Soros, anything that they want, all they have to do is pick up the phone, look at their agenda, and everybody will listen to them, and everybody will take their call. And if these people, very powerful people, work together, and they work under for a common purpose, under a common planning, and under a common management scheme, well, then you start to understand why the New World Order is going in the direction it's going, and not in the direction of what the common good for most people would be.
Wow. Well, something's up. There are too many people eyeing your country as a getaway, obviously.
Yes, I know that. A lot of people are coming down. A lot of them, I think, are bona fide and genuine. They're people who are genuinely trying to get away from that area. Argentina and Chile, admittedly, are geographically very far away. Geography still is important. Argentina is underpopulated. Argentina has vast wealth, resources, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So a lot of people are coming down here, even from the States, for a very good purpose, and they are most welcome. The problem is, are the other ones, the Elsteins, the Soros, the Rockefellers. The Rockefeller interests have been down here for 50, 60 years. The Bushes, those are the ones that concern us, because you figure, the Benettons, what are these people doing down here? Douglas Tompkins. I'll just give you one example, it's 15 seconds. In 2008, one of our newspapers here carried the story that there's an NGO called the Patagonia Conservancy Foundation. Supposedly they were down here investing a lot of money buying large tracts of land in order to protect Argentine grassland. So you figure, hey, that sounds very nice. Now the CEO of the Patagonia Conservancy is one Hank Paulson, ex-CEO of Goldman Sachs and former Secretary of the Treasury, George W. Bush. Now, what the hell does Hank Paulson care about Argentinian grasslands?
Right.
And you figure all these are fronts for people who are positioning themselves into the specific territories that they have earmarked for future migration, for future use, and for future exploitation. And regrettably, Argentina falls under that category.
Exactly. Wow. All true. Amazing. So people obviously are planning a getaway if they need to, and they're coming down and buying up and surveying. And well, we've talked about the Israeli Jews down there, a tremendous number of them, doing obvious research, reconnaissance. I don't know how much land is actually being bought, but it would be interesting to talk to a National Realtor Foundation to find out.
Well, they've been doing that for a long time, and that's one of our prime concerns, Jeff, because as I think we discussed in one of your previous programs, this goes back to the founding of Zionism at the end of the 19th century.
Right.
Viennese lawyer Theodor Herzl, who is considered to be the father of Zionism, or at least the State of Israel considers him to be the father of Zionism, when he wrote his watershed book, The Jewish State, back in 1896, he said that the Zionist movement should try to set up that state in Palestine, but also in Argentina. As a matter of fact, one of the chapters in his book is called Palestine or Argentine. He mentions that specifically and said at that time that Argentina had such vast territory, such low population, and such vast wealth that its government would no doubt be interested in ceding a part of its territory for monetary compensation. Now, that was in 1896. If you fast forward to 2001, the New York Times, in August 2002 actually, carried a story saying that Patagonia should secede from the rest of Argentina as a way of Argentina paying its foreign debt. So you figure it's the same. The New York Times ends up repeating exactly what Theodor Herzl was proposing 110 years before. Okay, the crisis didn't get to that point, and Patagonia did not secede. But, you know, the way these people act, they push you slowly to the abysm, to the brink of just falling over. And the next crisis that Argentina has, and it will have it, I wouldn't be surprised if, well, we were to lose vast tracts of territory and a large portion of our sovereignty, period.
Sad. Sad. Sad to the same old people, too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they do long-range planning. That's what we have to understand. Argentinians don't understand it, and I think even Americans don't understand it. We've been taught, we've been educated to be short-term thinkers, the quick the quick change.
Carpe diem.
Right, exactly. And we have to start going into what's been mankind's and man's wisdom for thousands of years, long-term planning. You start something today, and you know that you will achieve your goal maybe 5 years down the road. Even more, a lot of these people, that's what the CFR and the Council of Foreign Relations are there for. You start something today that will be achieved maybe two generations from now.
Right.
And we've lost that touch. We've lost the ability to do that.
And the Chinese have never lost it, and the communists used it to great extent to control generations. They said, forget about the adults, give us two generations of children, we own the country. And they did.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep. Is there any hope?
Yes, I think there is. I definitely think there is. As a matter of fact, I'm posting a couple of videos here. I posted one tonight, and you might have seen the other ones that we're working on together with Ed Griffin and a couple of other colleagues in the States, Canada,
yeah.
and elsewhere.
Yeah.
We think that we have to do is wake them. People must understand what this is happening. And we must understand that although the New World Order people, the power elite, although they're powerful, they are not that powerful. Part of psychological warfare is for them to make us think that they are more powerful than they really are and that we are much weaker than we really are. So one of the things we're saying is since one of the things they've achieved is taking our sovereign states away from us, the way to win our countries back is to recover that sovereign state, to restore the sovereign state that will have the common good and the national interest as its main focus and not the interest of the banksters. Now, that can be done, but the very vital number one step is for a sizable portion of the people to understand that this is necessary and what is happening. When people understand things, action will then come of its own.
Okay. All right. A quick off-the-topic subject in our last minute, less than a minute. UFOs, photographs. Argentina has a rich history of that. Argentina has a rich history of cattle mutilation as well. Are these covered in the Argentine media?
Yes, they are in a rather bombastic way. Like all of a sudden they come in style and then they just disappear just as fast as they do. But yes, it is very much in the news. We have had a huge spate of unidentified flying objects being seen. And, you know, I think that that is something that, that it would be nice in some future program if we could discuss that even at greater length, because a lot has happened down here, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact of our proximity to Antarctica, where a lot of strange things
really?
Have been happening for decades now.
Well, let's,
and
let's
it might be worth having a good chat on that.
Let's do that, and if you can, send me some images or put them up on a website down there, and I'll link to them, and we can talk about some of them, but... Very interesting talk about Antarctica and possible German technology from World War II. Why did Admiral Byrd go down there with a task force in 1946? What was he looking for? And we'll, yes, let's do that, Adrian. Let me know when you'd like to, and we'll schedule it.
I'll send you some stuff, and then you just call the shop and tell me when you want to do it.
Good, very good. Thank you, my friend. Great to talk with you again, as always. Take care of yourself.
Same here. Thanks. Thanks a lot. Take care.
Okay. Good night. Adrian Salbucci, live from...